The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He delivers week in, week out, year in and year out. We appreciate Jared Nielsen more than you would even imagine, except when he screws up, which happens very, very rarely. John Wilner is going to be with us today. John and I will chop it up about the Colorado game. Actually kind of like what Jay Norvell said from this standpoint, and this wasn't brought up much. I think Reese Davis was the only one who had, like, I don't know, a sense of commonality rather than, well, it's Twitter. We can't compliment somebody. We got to just rip someone to shreds on social media. So we'll talk about that. We will talk about Arizona. You know, the Wildcats are this close to being 3-0 going to Stanford, and they should win there. We'll talk about Arizona State. I will get into Arizona State. They put something out on their social media today that has nothing to do with athletics, but I thought was well telling. I'll just leave it at that. You can't script this stuff with always something university. We will have John Wilner with us. Dale Hellestre is going to jump on board today. So Dale, of course, if you're not familiar, Dale grew up here in the Valley, went to Saguaro High School, won a bunch of Super Bowl rings with the Dallas Cowboys, one of the better long snappers in the game. And he was a teammate of Deion Sanders and wasn't fond of being a teammate of what he saw out of Deion. We've talked about this in the past with Dale, with the Cowboys coming to town, this Cowboy game this week. Because look, we know it, you know it, I know it. Even if you're a Cowboy fan, you know I'm right on this. The Dallas Cowboy fans are the biggest bunch of bandwagon jumpers. They're right there with Laker fans in terms of bandwagon jumping. When they're good, man, we are the Cowboys. We're the Lakers. We're going to wear our star jerseys. When they stink, nope. You bunch of bandwagon fans. You know it. I know it. You know I'm right. So with that as the backdrop, Dallas is coming here. It is going to be a Cowboy convention like we have never, ever seen before out at Glendale on Sunday when they take on your Cardinals. So we'll talk with Dale about that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, the credibility of Desert Financial Credit Union with us. We appreciate their support. Appreciate all of our partners. We are self-funded. I've been doing this now. This is our 11th year this week, and I would never go back, ever. I might partner with them, but I would not go back to radio or television. I had an executive told me a while back, you know, if you come over here, you have to play by our rules when it comes to the teams. Well, okay, that's not happening. You can say things on your show that we can't. Well, I don't know. Maybe you should. Maybe you should hold some of these people accountable. It's not malicious. When Arizona State's a 30-point underdog, just so we're really clear, they're a 30-burger underdog. So I usually don't scroll when I, against USA, the 30-point underdog. Usually don't scroll, but when I start getting texts this morning from people, it's about an hour ago that Arizona State put out a tweet. Let's see if I can find it here. They put out a tweet, and it was one of those tweets that you just looked at, and you're like, no, they really just didn't do that. But they did. And I'm going to talk to John about this. So. And, you know, I thought about asking Iron Man to play this, but it's not in the video. They put out a tweet. It's a very good, well-produced video by Arizona State. It's talking about how fabulous they are and all their rankings on things on campus. The tweet, though, said ASU, repeatedly ranked number one in areas that matter. Has landed at the top of the another list again. Most innovative university in the U.S. ahead of MIT Stanford for the ninth year in a row. Take a moment to celebrate Sun Devils. Well, the line, in areas that matter. In areas that matter. Can't script this stuff. Always something university. Doesn't sit well. I'm not the one that put it out. I'm not even the one that dug it up. I'm just sitting here minding my own business, and all of a sudden I get this. Can you believe this BS? Can you believe this? Can you believe this? This is insulting. I'm hearing from sponsors. I'm hearing from people that are of influence around the valley. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Well, yeah, I can. Nothing like having the president and athletic director standing down under the goalpost in an empty stadium. Well, that's not true. 98% empty stadium. At the end of the Fresno State game against Arizona State on Saturday night. It's a good thing that most of the nation was watching Colorado State. In fact, I'd love to see the FS1 No Broadcasters in the Building ratings on that. So yeah, ASU has USC here this Saturday, a 30-point underdog. They're going to get to the point. Let me think. They're going to get to the point where they're going to introduce the fans before the players at some of these games, because there's going to be, nobody is going to show up the way that this is going. And I don't blame Kenny Dillingham. I don't. I looked Kenny right in the eye. Those of you who watch this show, I've said, I don't know if you're going to be a good coach or not, because you've never been one. Have there been some moments, especially in play calling the Oklahoma State game, where I tilted my head? Yeah, but that's correctable. Eight turnovers? You're down to your fourth string quarterback? Let's not sugarcoat this. Line should probably be 40 for USC. Probably should be. They have those old running clocks that happen on the high school level. They don't have that happen on the college front. But this Saturday night, it could be that. Your Cardinals. I was sitting there watching it yesterday. I was going, man, they look really good. Didn't they? Didn't they look like, I don't know, representative of an NFL franchise that could go out and actually compete week in and week out? And I know what's going to be said. Here's how it's going to go. Well, we just have to go back and get better, and we're going to work on it, and we're going to correct it, and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. How do I know this? Because I've heard it most every year that I've been here since 1993. That's how it goes. Not hating, it's just a fact. Correct me if I'm wrong. How many Super Bowls? So yesterday, as I'm watching them up 20-0, I wasn't thinking, hey, I'm actually going to be able to call them my Cardinals tomorrow. No, I wasn't thinking that, because there's still a lot of game left. I love to see the running attack of James Conner. I love seeing Joshua Dobbs get after it. Some of their young players making plays. As we've said, this is the year to get answers on guys at positions. Get answers. I don't want them to tank for Caleb Williams, and I don't blame Caleb Williams one bit if he says, I'm not coming out to play in Arizona. I don't. This Saturday may be as close as it gets to Caleb Williams playing here in our little slice of heaven. It might be. Take it while you can. He's probably going to be on the field for a half. So the second half starts, and you could feel the momentum, and you could just see the wheels falling off, and there was nothing at all that they could do. Some of this, I think, goes back to the, week one is still preseason because they don't play guys, and football in September is still really not good football. And I'm being kind. It's dog food in a lot of places. But by halftime, okay, they got six quarters in them, and they started to figure some things out, and they had their young offensive line that had a bunch of injuries and so on and so forth, and the Cardinals are pushing them around on the field. They could have very easily folded their tents. The Giants could have. But instead, we're sitting here today with another loss and 0-2 with the undefeated, best-looking football team in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys, coming here this Sunday. I am guessing that there are more than a few of you, because I know a couple of you. I don't know if they've all come out of the woodwork yet. I know of a couple of you that have taken your Cardinal Cowboy tickets and you've parlayed them already and made back your money and then some. It's a better game than the stock market. You found ways to do that. Good for you. You should. That's smart. It's business. You want to go out to the game this week, and what we're going to hear and what we're going to see, what we'll see on social is, man, there's a lot of Cowboy fans here. And what I'm looking at is, wow, Micah Parsons is just a wrecking ball. He is, oh my goodness. Like, did you see Geno Smith last week on social when they're playing the Rams and he just screams, "Oh my God!" because he's about to get crushed. I mean, that could be Joshua Dobbs. Although I liked what he was all about. Like if I put a poll up today that said, "Would you want Joshua Dobbs over Kyler Murray?" Just in the court of public opinion, there'd be a lot of you that would. I was hearing it yesterday. We don't need Kyler. We have Joshua Dobbs. And I'm thinking, I don't know if you're hearing yourself quite right, but it's okay. He played well. You know, over the course of the season, you're going to need two guys at every position. Three guys if you're a running back. James Conner can't continue the workload that he has shown, in my opinion. You know, if Joshua Dobbs hits Zach Ertz in the very first series, game's over, right? Matt Prater kicks field, game's over, right? So the NFL, it usually, and actually in all sporting events, I've learned this through the years, in all sporting events, it comes down, there's really about five plays in every game. Five plays. All the other stuff happens, but there's like five plays that, okay, that the game turned here, the injury happened there, this play turned the tide, this penalty hurt, and that's it. It's not like you have to sit there and dissect every last single play in this day and age. You don't. So yesterday for the Cardinals, I just rattled off a couple. Make a kick, catch a ball, there's two. You know, defensively, as the Giants started to pick it up and started to get after the Cardinals a little bit more and not able to get a team off the field, not that hard. The best story in town is my Diamondbacks are still playing baseball that matters. I don't know about you. I was in here watching Cubs Diamondbacks last night. It is late September baseball now, the 18th of September. I'll call late, 2 weeks to go. And you look at it and you say, you know, the way the schedule's laying out for them, they have a day off today, rest their bullpen. They get Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly back-to-back against the Giants. Then a day off again. Yeah, they have to travel east to the Yankees, who stink this year. So I'm looking at this week, and I'm thinking, okay, they just swept out the Cubs. They're in second in the wild card. They're going to have a rested bullpen. They've got their two best pitchers going. Yes, the Giants are desperate, trying to get into the postseason. They're on the outside looking in right now, but then they get another day off, so there should be rest here. There should be rest because Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly should eat up innings. And when you have a bullpen that can be just a little bit fresher with all these pressure-packed games that are in front of them, and you know, you got two at home. Today they should be out playing golf. They should be out doing anything but baseball. Clear your heads. Get back after tomorrow. Torrey's got them right where they should be. Last week after the Mets' just awful series, the sky's falling. It's over. It was a nice run. Forget about it. We had Barry Bloom on last Thursday. It was like, yeah, it was a good run, but look at all what happened to the bullpen. And yes, it did. But yet, here they are. Nobody's taking a hole by the neck. And that's pretty much. I went to some high school football on Friday night. I saw a player that we'll talk about in the Audibles segment later in the week. Saw a player Friday night that's probably going to play in the NFL. It's fun to go out and watch guys on Friday nights that you look at and you say, he's going to play on Sunday. And then you run into people that are in the football fraternity on Friday nights, or you talk to coaches on the college end that aren't out on Friday nights because they're not allowed to be on some Friday nights, but you find ways to communicate. And then on Saturdays, you see a lot of football. I thought the Colorado game, like Jay Norvell, just go back on that rant, then I'll take a break here because Wilner's coming up. Jay Norvell did something. They got lost, I think, in complete burial because that's what people do in this day and age. Jay Norvell took every last bit of pressure off of his players and put it on himself. He didn't put any more pressure on his team. He put it on himself. Did he wake up Colorado? I don't know. Was Colorado asleep? Like anybody, I don't blame fans for storming the field. Someday in my lifetime, maybe Arizona State's going to be back up and off the mat. And they're going to have a game like Nebraska where the fans just get so amped up that they're going to charge the field, even if they win in double overtime. And even if the win is against a subpar substandard team, because they were the ones that are subpar and substandard right now. So that's what happened in Colorado Saturday night, or at least Sunday morning. Fans are storming the field. Jay Norvell's team, quarterback throws a pick six early. That could have got away. They could have been on roller skates the rest of the night, and instead they weren't. They had Colorado on the ropes. So all this, wow, Colorado is awesome and amazing. Yeah, you know, so you get all the national attention. So what? Go to Oregon. Go to USC. When they come here, it's going to be a Colorado convention. If the Buffaloes win either one of those games, and I'm a Heisman voter, Shedeur Sanders, I'm going to talk to Wilner about this in a minute. I have to put that into my memory bank about that 98-yard drive. Right now, I'd have to put him right near the top, if not the top, of the Heisman Trophy list for me as a voter. So, John Wilner and then Dale Hellestray. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. John Wilner is with us. Wilner Hotline. He drops knowledge every week. You can find his content 24/7, 365 on his Twitter feed, Wilner Hotline, and on the website, sports360az.com. I don't want to start with Colorado every week, but I'm going to start with Colorado every week until this bus just drops off the face of the planet. Colorado at Oregon Saturday, John. It doesn't get much better than this, or is this just this hype train going to continue and continue and continue? Are you burned out on Dion in Colorado yet?
I am not burned out. They're producing entertaining football. So, you know, it's hard to get burned out on that. I wonder, though, if the train is going to be coming to us, at least slowing down this week. That Oregon presents a next-level challenge for the Buffs compared to what they've seen, right? I mean, Colorado State lost to Washington State 50-24 and then took Colorado to overtime, double overtime. I think we'll see, but I think there's a distinct possibility that Colorado gets beaten soundly in Eugene on Saturday. Now, that's not going to all of a sudden, you know, take Colorado completely out of the national spotlight, because as long as they got Deion Sanders coaching, they're going to get attention. But it will maybe pump the brakes a little bit on this train because they really do, as exciting as they are, they've got some serious flaws on their roster. And it's going to take a couple years to get those totally fixed. I think Oregon is going to expose them in ways that Nebraska certainly couldn't, TCU couldn't, and Colorado State was unable to.
What do you make out of Shedeur Sanders so far versus the other quarterbacks in the conference? I think Michael Penix has played the best and most consistent so far. But what do you make out of Sanders compared to the other Pac-12 quarterbacks in a year of loaded Heisman Trophy returning players?
Yeah, I mean, really, you're talking about differences on the margins thus far between Penix, USC's Caleb Williams, Sanders, Washington State's Cam Ward, Bo Nix at Oregon. They're all playing at a very high level. Sanders was terrific in the fourth quarter, right? He led a 98-yard drive in the last 2 minutes to tie the game. And then he was perfect in overtime. So as a kid who is coming up from the FCS level, he has made a fantastic transition. Obviously, he is very talented. And I'm sure, you know, we'll have an NFL future. Has he been the best? No, probably not. But boy, he's been fantastic. And any other year in this conference, and he would be certainly, you could consider him the best the way he's played. This is just an unprecedented year for quarterbacks.
Yeah, you and I are both Heisman Trophy voters. That 98-yard drive is a Heisman Trophy put it in my back pocket. I have to remember that when my vote comes up drive. It was just that good.
You do. It was that good. Now, what he needs is for Colorado State to have a pretty good year in the Mountain West, right? And that drive will carry some weight into the voting season. But really, I mean, the Heisman is made in November. Pac-12 is going to have five or six players, including Travis Hunter, Colorado's two-way star, if he comes back from the injury. Pac-12 is going to have five or six candidates entering November that are going to probably be in position to get to New York City. I don't know how many will. But it is a loaded conference at the glamour position.
John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. You can find his content. Follow him on Wilner Hotline on Twitter. He has the Wilner Canzano podcast. And, of course, he's part of what we do here at sports360az.com. It's a loaded weekend. It's as good a weekend. It's as good a Saturday as you're going to want to get. So let's just bang through these. UCLA at Utah. What's your view on this one?
The main view is that you got two ranked, undefeated teams playing. And it's by far the third most compelling game of the weekend. That's the biggest thing. The issue to me is, will Cam Rising play? Utah's starting quarterback missed the first three games. He's coming back from an ACL injury suffered in the Rose Bowl. Has he, you know, have they basically been keeping him out to unleash him here in conference play? Or is he still hobbled, in which case Nate Johnson, who's played well in relief, Nate Johnson will get the start against UCLA. I think it could be a very interesting game. UCLA has played well, and, you know, Utah, even if Rising comes back, you know, he's going to take some time to find his rhythm, having not played yet.
Oregon State, Washington State, both ranked, the Pac-2 as it sits. The business side of this, off the field, what does this game mean? Are the Mountain West folks watching this, or is it like, Brad, they already know what they're going to do? Oregon State, Washington State.
Well, the Mountain West folks are certainly watching. They know that they are going to, that there's going to be some conference out west that includes the Mountain West and Oregon State, Washington State. We don't know if it's going to be called the Mountain West or called the Pac-12. The big thing is going to be the ratings. I mean, this is, look, the backdrop of all this chaos, all this uncertainty with these two schools, and they are using the, you know, being shunned by the realignment game as motivation on the field. I mean, it's clear that it's having an impact on how they're playing, and both have looked very good. Washington State, one of the most impressive wins of the season, beating Wisconsin. We'll see. I'm real curious as to what the ratings are. This game is on Fox over the air. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern. And I think it's going to do well in the ratings. And that's just going to present more evidence that these schools, you know, have a place in major college football, even though they have been left behind by, you know, the realignment that struck the Pac-12.
Michigan State was in turmoil and Washington caught them last week, blew them out. Washington has Cal, should blow out Cal. But is this one of those games you look at and tilt your head to the side and say, let's just see, Cal's not very good. Washington's at home. This should be blowout city, right? Is Washington the best team in the conference so far, John?
I think Washington is playing the best right now. And you could make the case that Washington has looked as good as anybody in the country. Given the competition, right? I mean, dismantled Boise State, went to Michigan. I mean, they named their score at Michigan State on Big Ten turf, right? Cal has played the Huskies unexpectedly well over the last few years. Justin Wilcox has always got a good game plan for his former team. He was a Washington defensive coordinator for a while. Cal's played them. You wouldn't think that the series has had as many close games in the last 5-6 years as it has. In fact, 2 years ago, Cal went up there and won. I wonder if Cal's going to be able to keep with them, though. Washington is just a machine on offense. Cal struggled against Idaho for a while. I think this could be finally a game that is lopsided in the series.
Before I get you out of here, the two schools down here, U of A, an overtime loss away from being 3-0 going to Stanford, where they should become 4-0, right?
They should. I mean, this is an easy game for Arizona to overlook. Stanford just got beat by Sac State. Yep. I've been more impressed with Arizona's defense than the offense relative to expectations, right? You kind of figured they'd be able to move the ball and score points. I didn't think they would look as good as they have on defense. Jed Fish has done a nice job rebuilding that side of the ball. And Stanford is just, they just don't have much in the way of personnel. Arizona should win, but it could be close. ASU, you know, SC is a machine, right? And SC is going to have had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. I wonder about the Sun Devils, right? And it could get, if it gets ugly early, you wonder about the rest of their season, right? I mean, 8 turnovers against Fresno State is an astounding number of turnovers for a major college team. You do not see that very often. And I can't remember the last time a Pac-12 team had 8 turnovers. I got to look that up, in fact. But ASU is really, I think they're wobbling, right? With no bowl hopes, they're 1-2. If they get beat badly by the Trojans, the season could basically collapse on them.
Yeah, John, the line is 30. It's a home game. favored by 30.
I need to look and see the last time ASU was a 30-point underdog at Sun Devil Stadium, and I'm going to keep calling it Sun Devil Stadium because I love that name. You probably got to go back before Frank Cush is my guess to find a home. ASU is a home dog of a third. I mean, that's astounding, really. Maybe when Oregon and those Chip Kelly juggernauts went to ASU, I got to look, though, because that is an incredible number. You feel bad for Kenny Dillingham, right? I mean, who's playing quarterback? Does Brock Osweiler have eligibility left? Seriously. I felt like watching the 49ers in the NFC Championship game on Saturday with the quarterback situation down in Tempe. Just a tough break, right? All these breaks going against them. And then you got Rashada out for, what, at least a month? And if he's out for a month, they should just redshirt him, I think.
Well, and everybody down here wants Ray Anderson fired. And I mean everybody other than those that get paychecks over at ASU. And they may even want him fired for all I know. And they want Michael Crow to resign. And it's not going to happen because the president of the university doesn't care. They may say all day long that he cares. He doesn't care. And so I feel bad for Ray Anderson with one arm tied behind his back on one front. On the other front, this mess is right at his doorstep. If he had fired Herm right after the U of A game in 2021, if they had not gone to play Wisconsin and Vegas and self-sanctioned, and they'd moved on from all this, but they didn't. And so here we are where the AD is completely under siege from the fan base. They don't like him in any way, shape, or form, and I'm being kind. It's like this vicious cycle, John. You can talk about what's going on the field, and it always comes back to fire Ray, fire Crow. That's what's going on here.
Yep, and yeah, you can understand it. Those two guys are the architects of destruction of ASU football. There's no way around it, right? I mean, you got to put the turnovers, that's on the coaching staff. What happens in the game is pretty much on the coaching staff, but the big picture is entirely on the administration. And, you know, they have set the program back. You know, if it had been handled differently, the collapse and recovery could have been a lot quicker. It could have been more of a V. We're looking at a U with a really long bottom here for them to get out of this mess. And we're still waiting to see what the NCAA does. But you feel bad for Dillingham because he's obviously encountering issues that he did not expect. You feel terrible for the players, right? I mean, just awful for them. And there at the end of every home game, you see Anderson and Crow standing on the field, you know, near the tunnel. And you're thinking, you know, what are those guys thinking about this, right? They press the detonation button. And do they feel guilty? Do they feel accountable? I don't know that they do.
I'll let you go off that. Take your blood pressure medication.
Yes, indeed.
As always, there's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout. Dallas Cowboys are here on Sunday, and that means we have to find the cowboy with the hardware who lives in the valley, who you see on Cox Yearview doing the high school football games. He's involved in media across the valley. That is Dale Hellestray. It's always good to chop it up with Dale for a couple of minutes. What are you doing, by the way, these days? You're doing Cox on you're doing the Yearview High School Game of the Week. What else are you doing?
Doing a little college radio for Westwood One, and I got a morning podcast on WTSM TV. So I'm on 8 to 10. You can get it on Spotify. You can do it all, you know, wherever you youngins figure that out. But it's fun every morning, 8 to 10 with Steve McCollum, and it's a great time to be doing a talk show.
When the Cowboys come to the Valley, Dale, does it do anything for you as a former Dallas Cowboy that had great success?
You know, it's always a little more exciting. I'll be at the game on Sunday. And for once, it seems like they got a legitimate football team there in Big D that might cause some problems for people.
Your time in Dallas, you and I have chopped it up in the past. It was not off the field from ownership. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it didn't feel like the owner was as, let's just say, caring about his former players as other ownership groups you played under. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. You know, it's funny because every year I get 2, 3, 4 gifts from the Baltimore Ravens. I played 3 games for them. One of them horrendous, one of them average, and one of them below average. and get gifts for them. Don't get a whole lot from the Dallas Cowboys, but while you're with them, they take pretty good care of you.
Yeah. If you were to see Jerry Jones, would it be cordial?
Oh, yeah, very cordial. Obviously, I see him probably about once every other year. Very nice. We'll always envelop the older guys, but it's just a little different.
Okay. Deion Sanders, a teammate of yours, you're seeing what's going on at Colorado. It is the story, whether folks like it or not, it is the story of college football. As a teammate, how was Deion for you?
Well, I think what jumped out to me so much is he coaches exactly opposite of how he played. When he played, he was an individual. Look at me. I'm going to stand out. Don't pay attention to other people. As a coach, the guys have bought into him, and it's about team and uniformity and all that. And I found myself cautiously cheering for him here these last couple of weeks.
What do you see out of him as a coach, Dale?
Well, obviously, he can put a roster together in a hurry. You know, however many, 60, 70 different transfers, and they came out of the gate swinging. I just, as I watch him, number one, if I'm going against him, I'm not saying anything that I could possibly be seen on a bulletin board because he will jump on it.
Yeah.
And I just seen a measure of levelness to him that I never saw before.
Yeah, it's interesting on the comment about you wouldn't say anything. Jay Norvell, the head coach at Colorado State, I know Jay a little bit. He was at Arizona State. I felt like he said something that took all the focus off of his players and put it all onto himself. There was not one conversation about a player during the game or leading up to the game. It was all about Jay Norvell. We hate on Jay Norvell because he said this, he said that. Actually, that was kind of smart on his part. I don't think he was ever saying something that was throwing gasoline on a fire towards his players. Am I wrong in that?
I think if you have more talent than the other team, number one, you can say whatever you want to say. Number two, as I listen to that, yeah, I mean, you very easily could take it that way as much as you want. The thing is, going against any other coach but Deion, they're probably just going to let that lie and whatever, but Deion's going to take that, and I promise you that was a rallying cry all week long. He said, he's not only talking about me, he's talking about you guys. And right. He used that to amp his team up, whether that's how Jay meant it or not.
And it didn't work, though, did it? They won the game in double overtime. They were a 28-point favorite. It didn't work. At the end of the day, we could talk all day long about The Rock was at the game, and this guy was at the game, and look at all the pizzazz and jazz. It didn't work for Deion, if we're being truthful about it.
If you're looking straight at that, yes, and the fact is sometimes, especially when you're talking 18, 19-year-old kids, you can get too amped up. I've seen that happen before. You get too amped up on that energy. It seeps from you in the first quarter because you've been so jacked up. They'll find their way. Now, obviously, they got a schedule that's will kind of bring them back down to earth, which might be a good thing.
Yeah, Oregon this Saturday. Dale Hellestray with us for a few minutes. You can find him over on Your View and other platforms as well. We'll get to the high school stuff in a minute. What do you make out of Kenny Dillingham so far and what's going on at Arizona State on and off the field, Dale?
Well, I mean, you and I are on the same page of what's going on off the field. And what's frustrating, I'm not an ASU fan. I didn't go there, but it's more fun when they do good. Okay. And so when I talk to people, usually, you know this, Brad, everything starts at the top and then it works its way down. And so if the top is never going to get fixed or the top is never going to change, you are fighting, you're going to a gunfight with a knife. And that's what it seems like. I love Kenny Dillingham. I love that coaching staff he's put together. They're young. They know what they're doing. They're excitable. But come on now, if you're an ASU alum and you pay a team to come into town and they shut you out, how can there not be a couple big money boosters who say, if Ray Anderson's here next week, we're out. Mm-hmm. It's going to take something dramatic to get a change over there. Until it changes above Kenny and his staff, it's going to be the same old thing.
Yeah, and when you see the president and Ray standing under the goalpost every game.
It would make me sick, Brad. If I'm an alumnus of it would make me sick.
Yeah. Yeah, don't try to tell me you guys care just because you're standing on the field.
Yes, yeah, no doubt about it.
Now, 8 turnovers, that does fall on the coaching staff. That does fall on the players. That doesn't fall on Ray Anderson. That doesn't fall. And so I looked Kenny straight in the eye and said, I don't know if you're going to be a good coach because you've never been a head coach. You've been a very good assistant coach. This isn't bagging on him. He and I have a very good relationship, but was through 3 games, do you look at some things and say, not sure. I didn't like some of his 4th down calls against Oklahoma State. Okay. 34 year of age coach. When he's 44, is he going to be better? Sure he is.
Correct. If you're asking me about Ken, yes, there's going to be growing pains there. But again, I'm just looking at the program as a whole and what they had to overcome and where it was when they got here. Yeah, yes, I think that on the field, Kenny and his staff, they'll all grow and get better. I think you'll see a completely different view from the coaching staff week 3 versus week 11. Is that going to reflect on the record? Probably not. But I think this coaching staff will get better and better and better. But yet, if they don't get the help off the field, it's going to be 2 or 3 years, and then we'll see somebody else in here.
You're doing your view. So you're doing the high school game of the week. People can find it on Cox 4, Cox 7, Your View on the app. You've been doing it with Your View now for many years. Teams that you've seen so far, do you have an early read on the high school season?
Well, the 6A, or if we call it the open, the 6A, I've seen 2 teams that obviously are going to be there. I saw Basha, and DeMond Williams. Wow. If you're a U of A fan, you got to be excited about him. And then I saw Liberty, and Liberty played O'Connor. I don't know how good O'Connor is. They were in the open last year. Sure, they have been. I'll leave that to the other people.
Yeah.
But if they did belong in the open, Liberty's 50 points better than O'Connor on any given day, maybe more. That's how dominant they are. Navi Bruzon, I mean, he looks like a high, you know, like Kyler Murray when Kyler Murray was in college and high school. He's gotten a little thicker, and it's just so hard to defense quarterbacks like Williams and Bruzon. And I think that those 2 quarterbacks have kind of separated themselves.
When you look around the high school space, so much is made out of quarterback play, but I guess I'm looking at teams like Centennial, and Richard Taylor's closing in on a landmark number of victories. I saw Steve Campbell the other night in Williamsfield. They've got a tailback over there, and Dylan Lee, that's phenomenal. He's one of the best running backs I've seen in the Valley in a long, long time. I think from a coaching standpoint, Dale, how good is it here in Arizona?
Well, and again, I think you just look at it, Brad. When I came out in 1980, I think there were 10 of us that got Division I scholarships in the state. And obviously with the population and all that stuff growing, there's been better coaching. Now there's better athletes. And whether it's quarterbacks, the state of Arizona is now quarterback in Arizona. You've got long snappers. You've got all these different specialties. But when you talk about those coaches, Richard Taylor is a guy that you cheer for. Just a solid, good dude who doesn't age, kind of makes me mad. But he just keeps plugging away over there in the West Valley. And then you just sprinkle around, whether it's a Chandler or Hamilton, Steve Williams, a longtime figure at Williamsfield. The coaching has been tremendous.
One other question for you, and that is, so Aaron Rodgers goes down, and now we must pull all the turf up, and we must put down the grass. And you see these high schools that are pulling up the grass and putting down the turf. Chandler School District is now starting to do it because you have multi-sports that are going out there. When the NFL does something, usually everybody copies it. Where do you come down on grass versus turf, Dale? Because it is the rage topic in the last week.
Well, first of all, what you have to understand is the turf I played on is a scotchy bit different than the turf they have now. The turf that they have now is fantastic. I played on Veterans Stadium turf. You know, hey, here's some asphalt, concrete. Let's put a little layer of carpet over and go play football. It's completely different today. What I tell people, the guys that I know, myself included, my most serious injuries came on natural grass. I totally dislocated my ankle, fractured my fibula, because my foot wouldn't turn into the grass. I couldn't get it out of the grass. And I think a lot of guys feel that way. again, if Dale Hellestray tears his Achilles on a Monday or Sunday night football game, I promise you they're not talking about tearing up the turf all over the league. It was because it was Aaron Rodgers. And you talk to doctors, it's 50-50 on whether it would have happened in grass or not. I think it's much to do about nothing.
Dale Hellestray with us, and we appreciate chopping it up with him. Thanks.
You got it, Brad.